today we want to, we stand kind of at the crest of a mountain, and we are looking over into the promised land of 2019. And we want to welcome God into our midst. We want to welcome Jesus into our lives for every step of the way. I'd like to read Philippians 3, 12 to 16. So it says, and this is Paul talking, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained." Now, I didn't include these next few verses as part of it, but I want to go back to verses 8 to 11. It's not on the screen. Don't worry about it. Just listen. Because this is the backdrop to what Paul has just said. "Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that the one that comes from faith in Christ, righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible," I can just hear him saying this, writing it, "by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul is consumed with Christ. And he was not Superman. He was like you and me. And in fact, he had a long list of pretty horrible things that was in his background. So he was no squeaky clean person. Let's pray as we consider what God has to say to us. Lord, this is your word, and we want to humble ourselves before your word. Lord, I pray that each one of us will really desire your love in their hearts, in all of our hearts, and that we may desire above all the goal of the prize of the call that you have given us. You have called us upward to you, to become like you, to become like Christ. And I pray that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 2019, what do we think? What can we ponder? As I said, we may be standing on the mountain. But what we're looking at is in mist. We're looking at a valley. We're looking at an expanse. And it's covered in mist. Because Jesus does not tell us. He doesn't show us all the little crooks and crannies. He doesn't show us all the rooftops. He doesn't show us all the cars going along the road. It's mist. Because he says, "I want you to step out in faith." We only see through a glass darkly. All the time as we go through this world. So God gives us now this vision, this moment, as we are here on the first Sunday of 2019. None of us, you, me, any one of us, none of us know what to expect. Right now, we're all on the same level, right? Not one of you, not one of me, knows what's tomorrow. We do not know what to expect during 2019. Sometimes people look back and say, "Well, if it was like last year, I'm cutting out right now," you know. Or if it was like last year, bring it on. But we actually don't have a choice. We just have a choice to trust God in those steps of trust into the mist. But, see, we're holding on to the hand of God. Now, it's going to be scary if you're not holding on to the hand of God, may I tell you that. But if you're holding on to the hand of God, even though it's scary, and we admit that it's scary in our heart, but we still walk through it with trust and with some deep joy because God is with us, no matter what we go through. See, just because we pray prayers, like just because I pray a prayer that I wouldn't, that I prayed prayers that I wouldn't have had to have a back operation. Now, don't you think God would not want me to have a back operation? Don't you think he would have not wanted me to have pain every day for 3 years? I mean, after all, I'm a pastor. I've served God for 40 years. Don't you think? I mean, some of us would say, yeah. But it didn't happen. But I wasn't blown away by it. I didn't turn away from God. I didn't say, forget you. I knew that he was looking after me even through this, because there's things on earth that we go through that he does not take us out of the world, we're in it. So there's things we have to face. There's disappointments. There's changes. There's all sorts of things we have to face. And we have to realize that's God's trail for us. Because he's testing us and strengthening us. Am I holding on to his hand? See? So our focus and priorities must no longer be centered on the things of earth, but on the things of God. That's what we talked about last week. And a fresh calendar, as we look toward this year, is an opportunity, new day. Everything's a new day. Every day's a new day. An opportunity to trust God today, no matter what happens. What purpose does he have for each situation that I find myself, that I will find myself in this year? What purpose? That's a question that I should ask every day. What purpose do you have for me today, Lord? What can I learn from each experience I go through? Maybe God's trying to teach you some patience. Maybe he's trying to calm you down so you trust in him and not your own thing. See? If we look at the stories and people that God uses in the Bible, he spent many years trying to rub the rough edges off before he sent them out into ministry. Read through the people. These are our examples. This is God saying, this is how I work in people. So what can I learn about God and his relationship with me in each of these situations? What can I learn about us as a church? It's not just about you and me as individuals. It's about us as a church. We're a family. I love it today. I love it as we share around the circle here. I kind of wish we could do this all the time, but I'll wait and see how that turns out. But today I particularly wanted this because the communion is center. The communion is a main purpose today. To share the bread and the wine with Jesus. To commit ourselves, to ask him to bring into our lives whatever it is that's going to change us to be like him. Are you game enough to have that prayer? That's a scary prayer. I think it's a scary prayer every time I pray it, but for some reason I can't quit praying it, because that's really what I want. But it's scary, because there's a lot in me that's not like Jesus. And it's going to take till the time he says, come home, Diana, to do what he needs to do in my life. And Paul knew that. I mean, here, Paul, by the time he wrote these, he was in prison when he wrote this. So what can we learn from Paul? We get a glimpse into his heart, his dreams. Paul has already made a commitment, a total commitment to his Lord. He says that he counts everything as loss next to that. The things he had gained through his own effort, he counts as loss. Because he desires to know Christ above everything. And why? He says it. Because Christ made him, Paul, his own. If you call upon the name of Jesus, he's made you his own. Everybody, he's made you his own. Think about that. He's made you his own. Do you love Jesus? He's made you his own. Do you trust him with your life? He's made you his own. He's made me his own. And so Paul says, because of that, that's why I give him everything. That's why I trust him in everything. That's why nothing that I try to do on my own is going to be worth anything. It's going to be because what he does in my life, what he builds in my life will be eternal. What I build will burn up. You know, we read various scriptures. You know that. That's in another part of scripture, another part of Paul's letters. So, another translation of verse 12 is, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect in it, mature, perfect means mature, but I press on so that I may, I love the way they say this, I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. So, Alan, thank you for sitting there. Jesus comes along to each one of us and he lays hold to us. Sorry, I'm only an old woman, so I was going to say young woman. So Jesus comes along, he lays hold of you. That's what he's done to each one of you. If you've been baptized, if you said you belong to Jesus, if you follow him, if you come to church, if you go to Bible studies, if you pray, and if you're truly, honestly, in your heart a Christian, Jesus has laid hold of you. So what Paul's saying is, I want to reach up to lay hold of what he laid hold of me for. So you're saying to Jesus, okay, you got me. Why? For what purpose? What are you doing in my life? Let me press on to know that. I want to know that to the fullest extent, till the moment I breathe my last breath. So, first question, or group of questions, is this our goal? Is it your goal? Let's be honest here. You got to really be honest. And God's going to work in you to make you honest. Some of us aren't honest. We play. We reckon we're safe if we walk in the door of a church. But he's saying a lot more. Is it your goal? Is knowing Christ and being in relationship to him and obedient to him and transformed into his likeness your commitment and priority? All right, that's the big question for 2019. That's the question for me. It's the question for all of us. Now, I'm not being morbid when I say this, but it just ran through my mind. If this is my last sermon here, you know, who knows? I signed the thing, you know. June knows every time you go in the hospital, risk, you know, sign your life away. Do you understand the risk? You may not make it out alive. You know, that's what they don't say those words, but that's kind of like what it is, you know. Now, I am pretty sure, but who knows, you know? I mean, I didn't know until a few hours before my husband died that he was going to die. So, it's like, I want to tell you guys, this is the key. That what I just asked you is the key. If you never hear another sermon in your life, that's the key. Are you Jesus' own? And are you committed to be obedient to him and be transformed into his likeness? Is that your commitment and priority? All right, then Paul says, he tells us he does not want a righteousness of his own. I'm not going to pat my back, myself on the back because I was a missionary or because I went to Bible college or because I led people to the Lord or because I prayed with people and they got well or anything like that. Or that I led a small group or that I happened to read 10 books about the book of John, or that I happened to pass certain subjects, or I got a high distinction in theology one, you know, nothing like that. He didn't want a knowledge that puffs him up and makes him proud. I did this. But he wants the righteousness, the compassion, the love, the patience that comes through faith in Christ. Those can never be taken away from you. Those are eternal values. Those are the values of gold. The faith of Jesus is gold. And that depends on him and what he does in your life. He says, Paul, that he will lose his life so that he can gain life in Christ. That's what we did when we said we want to follow Jesus. Did you know that? When you were baptized, are you willing to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus? Are you willing to lose your life so that he can save it and do things in your life? We did that. Did you know that's an eternal, universal, earth-shaking, revolutionary issue? It's not belonging to a club. It's not saying, oh, I'm a Christian and I go to this and that. I know you need to go to this and that. I know you need to say that. But only God knows what the deep roots here in our heart is and what we really want and what our priority is for each one of us. And my heart is, as your friend and as pastor, is to say, this is gold, everybody. It's the best thing you can possibly do. Paul's not talking about human effort, but a godly, desiring heart to grasp a hold of Christ. That Christ be his life. That's what true gain is. All right, second group of questions. Is there pride in your heart because of some effort you've given to the body of Christ? I think if God were to wipe the cover off our heart, including me, we'd all have pride. Oh, well, I've taught the Sunday school for the last 15 years. I've taught the TYF, or I've come to Bibles, or I lead this Bible study, or I've done this for that person, and I've cooked meals for that person, and I've showed hospitality this person, and all that. It is so hard to prevent those things from becoming prideful in our heart, because it's things we do. And we have the temptation. We have the temptation. See? Have you ever been talking to somebody and you share something going on with you, and they come in and tell you everything they've gone through that's similar? All of a sudden, the conversation just whoop away from you, and it's all about them. You know, or I've read these books. Oh, yeah, I've done that. Or I've gone here. I see that. Oh, I know about that. Oh, you have that disease. Oh, I know all about it. Have you gone to Thailand? Oh, yeah, I've gone to Thailand. I've visited all these things and blah, 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 blah. And that's all wonderful. But what do you feel like? Like that person really isn't lifting you up or isn't concerned or interested that much in you. You know, sometimes people have, you know, can we close our mouth a bit and show that, like, actually be ignorant? And say, tell me more. Tell me, I want to understand you more. Never mind that I've done 500 things that are same. She doesn't need to know that. So is there elements of pride? Well, this is something God wants us to bring to him. To bring to the foot of the cross. Is there pride in some knowledge you've gained, or the length of time you've been a Christian and going to church? All of that, the Bible says, and I only want to preach the Bible, says that that's worthless. The Bible says that's worthless. Because you need to have the righteousness of God. It's not any to-do list. It's the righteousness of God, not our own doing. Now, you guys know me. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm really kind of over it. You know, my daughter says to me all the time, I'm over it. You know? Do you teenagers say, I'm over it? Does anybody in here say, I'm over it? Well, my 30-year-old daughter says, I'm over it all the time. I say to her, what does that mean? What does that mean, I'm over it? You know, are you okay with it? Are you jumping off a ledge because of it? Or what are you doing with this, I'm over it, you know? Anyway, what I was going to say is, if the Holy Spirit's within me, and I'm seeking the righteousness and love of God, I will hardly wait to meet with God's people. And we would be full at 5 to 10. Now, again, I'm not, please, don't take it that way. Don't take it that way, because you know I love you. You know, like, please don't come later than you do to spite me. I'm being really honest here. I'm saying that, you know, and I've said this before, this worship team practices during the week when you're having dinner somewhere. They pray during the week to select the songs that will be of the Holy Spirit, and that today's songs were so precious to what we're talking about today. And we want to meet people. I know that you want to see each other because you hang out afterwards. But do you want to hang out with God? Do you want to hang out with the Lord? Do you come on Sundays prepared? Prepared in your heart? Have you prayed for me so that I say the right things and I'm not a blubbering idiot? Do you pray for the worship team that the things they planned will be wonderfully received? Do you pray for all of us that our heart will be stirred and moved by what God says to us? This is a family. And see, this is the deal, is that we are so free here in this country that we take it for granted. When two-thirds, three-quarters of the world, where there is a persecution and where there's not, even China now and Thailand and all sorts of places are cracking down. So people risk their lives to meet in a place like this. They might ride a bicycle for 3, 4, 10 miles. They bring their lunch, all sorts of things. Now, again, what I'm saying is we have to get this in perspective, everybody. We have to read the scripture in perspective. Not from the privileged few, not from the wealthy class. And that's what we do. We read the scripture from our point of view. And we're blinded by it. And so we don't sense the urgency. If somebody walked in with an AK-47, you bet your bottom dollar we'd all be on our knees. Why does it take an AK-47 to do that? Now, I didn't plan to say any of that, and please don't think I'm getting over the top here, but I am. You know, I think I've said this before, but when I was in New York City, we met, our church was underneath a Chinese restaurant for a while, and people from all over Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island came around. It wasn't just a neighborhood thing. It certainly wasn't like Canberra. I mean, this took an hour and a half on a train, and people were, and we didn't have anything where to set up. There were, all of our musicians carried their guitars on their back and their music. We didn't have any music, but we didn't have overhead projector. We didn't have any of that. What we did was took butcher's paper and printed the songs and put them on the wall, and then we began to memorize them so we could sing them without any music, any words or anything. We were a poor church. We weren't like the big Calvary Bible Church or Presbyterian thing on the hill or anything like that. We were like a church that, when we spent all day on Sunday together. Because who wants to spend an hour and then go back on the train? We had meals. We had hung out at the park. We did evangelism in Central Park. We did all sorts of things like that. And so I cut my teeth as a Christian, as a full-blown lose my life kind of Christian and in ministry at that. And then from there to the bush living in a tent. So you can just take that as a little bit of a background. That's what maybe why I speak the way I do. We take things for granted. We're kind of privileged. Anyway, then Paul goes on to confess, and I confess, and we all confess, that we are still far from that goal. I'm far from that goal. We're all far from that goal. Paul is never puffed up. He always wants to be humble. And he gives all credit and honor to the Lord. He's not perfect. He's not righteous on his own. But he keeps going toward it. There were many things in Paul's life and his past that hurt him. He had Christians murdered. He was hanging there with their coats. He was delighting in it. I mean, this is like terrorist persecution stuff happening back then. He was involved in that. And he thought he was doing it for God. I spoke to a young man this past week, and talking about the violence that Christianity has done, like the Crusades and things like that. And, you know, and I said, yeah, lots of times we as Christians, we don't understand. We don't get it. You know, we could even make a question mark, are they truly Christians? Or they're very deceived, or they're very screwed up, you know, in thinking that you can go on the Crusades, or you can be as a missionary to the Navajo Indians, and if they spoke their language instead of English, you cut their tongue out. In the name of Jesus. So these are difficult things that we have to face. And Paul keeps going toward the goal. There is not one of us here who doesn't have a secret in our lives. Every one of us has a secret. Maybe, you know, I'm fairly open, but there are secrets I haven't told anybody. Every one of us will have something that maybe we're ashamed of, or that was difficult for us. And we really don't want to share it with other people. Something we're not proud of, that we wish wouldn't have happened. But God doesn't want us dwelling on them. He wants us to lay those things aside and walk in the newness of life that God has given us. So the third group of questions. Have you asked forgiveness for whatever you may still hold in your heart that has shame or guilt? Have you asked forgiveness? Have you stood firm when the enemy whispers in your ear that you're a bad person? Or look what you did. Do you really call yourself a Christian? Do you listen to those whispers? No. You need to push them away. You need to stand. We need to look the enemy in the eye and say we've been forgiven and we are a new person in Christ. Then Paul says he presses on. He forgets those things that lay in the past and he strains to what lies ahead. Look at that word, strain. Raise your hand if you go to the gym. I think more of you need to go to the gym. All right. How many of you watch athletes on TV at various forms of any kind of athlete? Okay. All right. Any kind of tournaments, you know, World Cups and all that sort of stuff. All right. Now, can I ask you, TV is wonderful, isn't it? Because what happens is we're looking at the field of Usain Bolt going along, see? And then all of a sudden a camera, you know, like I'm standing back here. That's why you kind of like it on TV better than even being there, because he looks like a little ant where I can afford the seats. You know, he's looking like a little ant going across. But on TV, they zoom in to his muscles, his leg muscles straining, you know, and you see them ripple and you see the long thing and you think, oh, a physiotherapist's dream, you know, like it's like unbelievable. That is straining. So Paul uses this word to say, I want to be like Jesus and I'm going to strain every muscle to be like Jesus. Some of us hardly strain a muscle making our breakfast. Or, on the other side, we strain more muscles getting our PhD or our master's or something like this than we do thinking about God. Or building our house or getting the next thing or whatever it is. We strain more. You do more research for the new car than we do about Philippians 3 and what that means in our lives. We can do the research for the new car, no problem. Remember, please, hear me. And I've always said, I don't care what you own and what you buy and all that, if it's what God has said, you know, if that's how God's led you. The whole thing is, what is God doing in your life? So he goes, the muscles of our heart. He puts muscles into action. So straining to the prize of the calling of Jesus is putting my heart muscles into action. My heart muscles. our commitment, our love, our dedication to the Lord. He looks forward to what's coming because he knows that God will work his wonders in his life. So fourth group of questions. Will you commit yourself in 2019 to straining forward? To receive whatever God brings into your path this year? To believe in your heart that each moment is an opportunity to bring him glory through your life? Then Paul tells us what he's straining for, what he's pressing toward. And he says, the goal of all this is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he ends up in that section talking about resurrection. He says, the goal of all this, my friends, is to be like Jesus and be called upward into Jesus with the final goal, resurrection from the dead into the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow, but see it as a gift from God. In fact, he tells us that true spiritual maturity means if you and I recognize that we haven't reached it yet, that's true spiritual maturity, Paul says. If anybody walks around and says, well, I think I've reached it, you know, I think I'm pretty cool. I mean, I'm better than you, you know, I've done more than you, da-da-da-da-da. Well, that disqualifies you right away. Paul says, if you realize, if you're humble enough to say, well, I haven't reached it yet and I've got plenty of work to be done in my life, then you're mature. So Paul uses the athletic metaphor, the race and the finish line. And you know, many a game is lost in the last minute or two, or even seconds. I mean, I'm sad to say that I've seen Lydia's team lose in the last 1 minute. And sometimes it's because the team is kind of let down a little bit. Oh, there's the finish line. It's only a couple of steps, I'm home free, and all of a sudden, boom! An obstacle falls in your path. Or something knocks you on the head. Can't let down. Can't let ourselves think that, hey, I've got it. So the question here is, do you want the prize? Do you want the prize? Do you want the kingdom of God? So Paul is actually says that we need to live in the present in light of the future. I need to live in the present in light of the future kingdom of God. Is what I'm doing now, what I'm thinking, what I'm planning, is that part of the kingdom of God? Is that what he's planning for me? I bring that to the Lord all the time. Okay, so because he's so fervent and passionate and personal and loving about all this, he's not boasting, he's instructing and encouraging you and me and thousands and millions of Christians between the time that Paul lived and today. In fact, the church needs to look like this. It's not just you and me individually, but if you and me individually were to take this on, do you know what would happen in this church? This church would glow. This church would glow with the purposes of God. No, I'm not saying we're not now. But we need to keep on. We can't think about what lies behind. We've got to look forward and say, how can we do this more? How can we do this more authentically? The church was born into this world by God. It's not a social club. And you know, I'm sad to say that many people, and I know this, and again, God uses everything, so yeah. Some people come into church looking for a mate. I want a wife or a husband, so I'm going to go to church. In fact, they go around the churches in Canberra, Sydney, wherever else, with their antenna on. You know, mate detector. Drum, 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 drum. And when that doesn't happen after a while, I'm going to go to another church. Mate detector. Blum, 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 blum. See? And we're not really doing what God wants us to do. I know enough stories to say, to know that God can bring somebody through the roof of the ceiling if he wanted to, you know. But we get worried. And also then we, some people come in, I want a social club. I want where they have all kind of activities where we can go bowling and we can see movies and we can chat and we can have dinner. Oh, big dinner. I mean, that's a no-brainer for us. You know, like, you want to meet anywhere? It's dinner. Want to meet anywhere? Food. You know, like that. But nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes the reason, it's wrong. You can do that anytime. We would say, you know, the people of the world do that, and sometimes they do it a lot better than us. And that's okay. So, but what I'm saying is the center should be Christ and his word and the desire that I have to be more like him. If that's the center, everything else comes from that. The dinners, the hospitality, the going bowling, the everything else. Because it centers around, it's peripheral to the center of each one of us, of helping each one of us, of helping each one of you, of linking hands to each one of you together, saying, how can I help you to be more like Jesus? How can we help each other to be more like Jesus? So, in 2019, I pray that God will grow us and deepen us, that we will think more seriously about our call, the upward call. I mean, I want you, can you see the two posters we've had? And there will soon be a third one. 2 years ago, we talked about being a people after God's own heart. Are we? We spent a year on that. This last year, being a disciple, growing and bearing fruit and discipling others. Are we? You know, that's for each one of us to ponder. And then we will look at this year, a sort of a pathway we want to follow so we can continue to grow. And today, as we come around the table, because see, this is the time when Jesus was sitting around. In fact, I was thinking about taking the cover off today because they didn't have a cover. Jesus didn't have a cover on it when he was sitting around the table. And I want us to consider today what all this means for you. And as I prepare for this, as I speak about this, Vonnie, if you want to just make sure that, does everybody have a piece of paper? Did everybody get a little slip of paper? If you did not get a little slip of paper, can you just sort of wiggle your finger and say, I need a slip of paper. There's three people over here, one person over there. Do you have more? Have we used it? Oh. All right, as we go through communion, this is what I want us to do today. There's some over here. Oh, I didn't get enough. Is there any plain paper that there you can just rip a couple of? Anyway, by the way, this is all voluntary, so there may be some people who don't want to do this. And so if you don't, you can give someone your piece of paper who might want to do it that doesn't have a piece of paper, okay? So basically what I'm going to ask you to do while we do communion, while we reflect on this, is I want each one of you, in what is God speaking to you today? I believe that if you sit right there, I believe right now if I said, okay, God, what's going to, 2019, what do I need more of from you? What do I need to grow in from you? And I believe something's going to pop in my head. Now, there may be 100 other things, but there'll be something that'll come. I want us to write that down. It's anonymous. You don't need to say anything that would tell anyone that it's you. You just say, I need to be more patient with my friends, or I need to be more loving to my spouse. I won't know what that means. There's a lot of spouses in here. I would like to know Jesus deeper in my heart and know that he really loves me. Those sorts of things. So it's all voluntary. So what's going to happen is when we take communion, the idea is this. If you write this down and fold it, we're coming up here to have communion. Or if there's anyone who cannot come up to the front, we can bring the communion to you. When you come and you take communion, you drop the piece of paper in the basket. Okay? At the end, I want us to pray for the basket, for all the requests, all the thoughts, all the reflections that are in here. I don't care if it's only one of you that puts something in here. It's up to you. This is between you and God. It's not about me. And so you put it in here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put them in an envelope. I'm going to leave them at my house for probably 6 to 7 months or until one day I see it and say, I need to do something about this. And I'm then going to come and I'm going to read a couple of them. You know, there nobody knows what. You know, someone back in January 6th said, I pray that I have more patience with my friends or whatever. Okay, we've prayed about that. If this is you, and we're not going to, you know, no person's going to know. If this is you, we pray that God has done this in your life or that he's working in your life. You see? So again, that's up to you. So as we start communion, and Alice is also going to pray for us. I mean, not pray, play for us as we go through. It's going to take a little bit more time. We'd like for you to come up to the front, and you can come up husband and wife, you can come up by yourself, you can come up as a family, you can come up to the person with the person sitting next to you, all those sorts of things. As you come up, you take a bit, you have your own, I'll pray, but you have your own little quiet moment. Put the bread in, take the sip and put it back, and then go and sit down. And someone can take communion for her, and if there's anybody else in the creche room. Okay? Now, so Jesus said to his disciples sitting around, he said, you're around here with me. I'm going to my death because of you. To free you. To set you free. To make you my own. So Jesus takes the bread. And he says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. He's earnestly desired to be here. Jesus is here. I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So the next time that when we're around the throne with Jesus, we're going to be feasting. He's going to pass the cup. He's going to pass the bread. We're going to have grapes and we're going to have raisins. We're going to have all sorts of goody things. I don't know if we're going to have any fried rice, but you know, I'm sure it's going to be multicultural. You're going to have to eat pasta and you're going to have to eat, I don't know, Middle Eastern pita bread. And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, when he took the cup, he'd given thanks, and he shared that cup with his disciples. And he says, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until I'm with you in the kingdom of God. And then he took the bread. And when he took the bread, he broke it. And he said that this is my body that is given for you. My life, my body, everything is given for you. That's why Paul was so taken up with this. He's got me. So here he says, this is my body. Do this in remembrance. And then he said, this cup is poured out for you. That is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And then he says that someone is going to betray him. I always think that's pretty deep, you know, that Jesus shared this meal even knowing there was someone who's going to betray him. That shows a lot of maturity. It shows God. So Alice is going to play. But before that, I just want to pray. There, if you have a pen or pencil, fine. If you don't, there's one up here. So I leave it to you, okay? Now, we've done this before, and it turned out really well. So don't delay, you know, come up. If we want to, we could have this side first. Maybe we'll do that, so it's just a little bit more orderly. So this side first, then this group second, and that group third, and you guys last, okay? So that you come up. If you would rather not, don't worry about it. If you'd rather not do that, then that's fine. So let me pray. Father, we just thank you that we have been given this privilege and honor to partake of the cup and the bread. We thank you, Lord, that you have done so much for us. I pray that you would instill us with your excitement and passion, and that your love would flow through us and among us. And Lord, as we partake of the cup and the bread, that we remember your death, that you died for us. You continue to live in our hearts, and we will live with you forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at that. The basket's full. I didn't expect that. Father, we just want to thank you so much. We want to thank you that you love us, that through Jesus, your Son, you've given your life for us, that we might live eternally, and we might have the privilege of being changed and transformed into your likeness, that you will take away sin in our lives, that you will take away bad habits in our lives, you will take away issues in our personality that came there by problems in our lives, and you will heal that and cleanse that. And Lord, you will give us purpose, that you've laid hold of each one of us, and we want to grab a hold of you, Lord, to know what that calling is, to know the upward call of Jesus in our lives. Lord, I pray for all the slips of paper here, all the requests, all the things written from people's hearts where they want to change or be blessed or to understand you or to be loved by you or to understand other people or whatever it is that they've included here. Lord, I pray that you would look upon their heart, and I pray that you would work your miracles, that your transformation in their lives. And Lord, as we continue to lift this up in prayer to you, Lord, that we will know more and more how faithful you are and how loving you are. And that this church will manifest itself as a church that loves you and glows with your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Chow.